Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see you again today. I heard from Brother Ben. We need to go ahead and start. We're a couple of minutes late already, so we're going to go ahead and see if we can get started this morning. Again, it's good to see you. Appreciate you being with us in our Sunday school hour today. Look at your bulletin and see what kind of events we've got coming for the coming week. And I think today is the day that we vote on deacons, so we need to make sure you're ready for that and keep that in mind. Has it been cold enough for you? It can kind of get winter in North Carolina right on. But I thank you for getting out in the cold. I got up this morning in the bedroom, didn't have any heat, so that's real good. I guess the good thing about it is I've got what we call a dual fuel in the bedroom, and it works on gas and electricity. So I went out there and turned the outdoor. When it gets a certain temperature outside, it switches over to gas. So I just went out there and turned the thermostat up and said, you go back to the heat pump and help me out all you can. So at least we got some heat in the bedroom, and that's, you know, where Francis stays a lot of the time. But anyway, it's good to see you again today, and thank you for being here and for those who might be listening in by the way of internet, whatever, how you might be listening in. The Lord's still good, and He's still in charge, and I'm glad He is. But if you continue to remember those who are sick, those who have need, and pray one for another, bow with them in just a word of prayer, and then we want to go to Matthew again, the second chapter. And we're going to look at wise men again this morning, believe it or not. But we're going to look at it in a different light. Lord, again today, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we know you as our personal Savior. Therefore, we have a drawing to come and worship together and to worship you and to bring praises to you. And Lord, we know that you are the one and only true God, our God. And Lord, we can say, our Father and my Father who art in heaven, thank you, Lord, for your ever presence with us. I thank you for each one who's here this morning and for those who are listening in. And Lord, I ask that you'd visit us now with your precious Holy Spirit, enlighten us to see the truths of the gospel, help us to understand it, and how to help us to see your mercy and grace in it. Again, Lord, you know our needs. We bring them before you and ask that your will would be done in our lives as you bless us to travel this journey of life. Just continue to watch over and care for us as only you can. May we be humbled that you might be exalted, and may your name be glorified, praised, and honored. In the name of Christ, we do pray. Amen. In Matthew again, in the second chapter, we look at the Magi or the wise men. I want to make a different approach this morning. We talked about it, what the shepherd represented, and Simeon represented, and what the wise men represented last Sunday as we studied. But something came to my mind, just one little word popped out to me as I was preparing for last Sunday's lesson. And I want to read in Matthew, the second chapter, these first two verses to you again. I want you to notice one word in these particular verses. And it says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men. And I told you that I got a card. I believe it's Mary. I think Marty and Sherry sent it to me, and it had a picture of wise men on there, and it says, wise men still seek him. But now, watch this. It says, the wise men came from the east to Jerusalem. And we talked about from the east, and if you look at it in the time that this took place, east would have been probably Persia, now where Iran and Iraq is located now. And there's kind of some desolate land between Persia and Jerusalem. But they came from the east, saying, where is he that is born, King of the Jews? For we have seen his star. Notice we've seen his star, okay? Now, look at the next few words. And are come to what? To worship him. And all of a sudden, something hit me. I still think we have a great example of the leadership of the Holy Spirit that draws a person to know who Christ is. But I think we can see another example in this if we look deep enough in it. And I think we can because of that one phrase, we have come to worship him. Why are you here this morning? I asked you that question last Sunday, I think. Why are you here this morning? What has drawn you here this morning? Now, let's look at a few verses together this morning as we begin. We talked about a few Sundays ago that, and we looked at in the book of Isaiah, and it says, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin in my mother's, in the conception of my mother when she conceived me. So we know we're born in sin. Now, in Romans, in the third chapter of Romans, in the 23rd verse, that we know all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. These verses we know most of them by heart. So we were shaping iniquity in the mother's womb, meaning we're born in a natural birth, separated from God. All of us have sinned. All of us have come short of the glory of God. Now, if we look, I want you to look with me at 1 Corinthians again. I want to go to the 14th chapter. And this is, we've looked at this many times, but I want to look at it again, if you will, allow me to this morning. And kind of refresh your memory a little bit. So in Corinthians, we're looking at the first chapter, and we're looking at, 1 Corinthians, second chapter. And I want you to look at this 14th verse again now about the natural man. We've just found the natural man's state. He says, but the natural man, and what's the next word? Receiveth. Now, that's something that you receive. He said, now, the natural man receiveth not what? The things of the Spirit of God. The natural man does not receive those things. Why? He says, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So the natural man has no desire, no want to receive Christ as personal Savior. He has to be drawn by the Spirit and enlightened to his lost and undone condition and realize that he's on the way to an eternal hell before he's ever put in a position to receive the Spirit of God. Now, keeping those thoughts in mind, I want you to think on this with the wise men. In the east, not in Jerusalem, a long ways from where Christ was born, a long ways where Christ is now living after his birth. Well, I think that you and I were born a long ways from where Christ was living. Christ is now sitting on the right hand of the Father in heaven itself. That's a long ways from where I am this morning. It's a long ways from where I was when I come to know Christ in saving grace. And it's a long journey from where the wise men are to where Christ is in Jerusalem. And it's been a long journey from the time that I was 12 years old to now 83. And it's been a pretty long journey with me since I come to know Christ in saving grace. And I've not yet gotten to where Christ is yet. Now think about what I'm saying. We're on a journey. And we're on a journey. And we have an opportunity to worship. Their desire was to worship him. Their desire was they wanted to see him, but their desire was to worship him too. And now they're on the journey to be in his presence. Well, what kind of journey are you and I on? Since the day that we were saved, we started a journey, and we own that journey. And that desire is that one day we'll be where? In his presence. Christ said, it's my desire that where I am, you be there also. And it's my desire, and I certainly hope it's your desire, to be there too. You know, and we want to be there that we might worship him. But we've gathered today also to worship him. So our journey as his children, as those who are saved, our desire is to worship him. And that's what has drawn us. The Spirit has drawn us here today together to worship him. But now, I got to thinking about, what did those wise men see in the east that made them go to Bethlehem? Something appeared to him. What was it? Now notice, when we read this a while ago, they said, we have seen his star. So it's his star that they have seen. So it's a light that they have seen. And that light that star has produced is different, I believe, from anything else that they've ever seen. And that star is drawing them to worship him. And this is exactly what the Holy Spirit does to you and I. It draws us and draws us together to worship him. Now, I don't know where the wise men, the magi, you know, they say there's three because of the gifts. I think it was more, but nevertheless, it's here or there. They were exposed some way or another to the gospel. Because a natural man, three men or a group of people, are not going to start. And if you look at your map, it's a pretty good haul. They're not going to load up a bunch of camels and start across many miles of travel without some desire, something causing it, something leading it, something making it take place in their heart. So somewhere, by the work of the Holy Spirit, they have been drawn to Christ. And I began to look at this and say the prime reason they come to worship Him, they experienced salvation where they were in the East. And that planted that desire. And there's that example of the Holy Spirit that leads us on our Christian walk and our Christian journey of life. Look at a few scriptures with me now this morning as we study this topic together. In 1 John, the thing, you'll get the picture in just a moment, I think, when we begin to look at this. In 1 John, and when we go to the first chapter of 1 John, I'll ask you if you will, 1 John 1 and verse number 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is what? Light. Now, let me ask you, what was the wise men seeing? They were seeing light. They were seeing a star. And that light and that star that they're seeing is doing a drawing. It's making them react. It's bringing them to a place. And He says now, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Is no darkness at all. So somewhere in the darkness of their sin, like you and I in the darkness of our sin, the Holy Spirit did a work in their life like it's done a work in our life. And it has flooded our soul with the light of God Almighty, the Holy Spirit. And that's the thing that draws us to worship Him. And God says, okay, now I am the light. Back over in 2 Corinthians, look at 2 Corinthians. We'll be flipping back and forth every which way this morning. Fourth chapter. I ask you to look with me, if you will, at verse number 3. But if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Those in the darkness. 2 Corinthians, 2 chapter, verse number 3. In whom the God, notice that's not capitalized, of this world, Satan himself, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest the what? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. So they take no credit. All goes to God. We're doing what we do. We're preaching for His sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our what? Hearts. To give the what? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So how do you get the knowledge, and how do you get the light, and how do you get the glory of God? It comes through and only through Christ and through the work of the Holy Spirit. So it's the light of the gospel. Somewhere, somebody told you the gospel message of saving grace of Jesus Christ. You heard the gospel. You responded to the gospel and the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's the reason If you're saved this morning, you're saved because of the work of the gospel and the Holy Spirit. In John 8 chapter, look at verse 8 chapter, and I want you to look at verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, what? I am the light of the world. Now, we just read a few moments ago, God said, I am what? I'm the light. And here Christ says, I'm the light. They are one, the Holy Trinity. He says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not do what? Walk in darkness, but shall have the light of what? Life. Now, you're going to have an eternal light within you, and because of that eternal light that's in you, you're now not going to walk in darkness. We're saved by His marvelous grace, and that changes our walk. That changes our nature. That changes our lifestyle. If it don't change our nature or our lifestyle, we better be doing some checking on ourselves. You better make sure that you have been saved by the marvelous grace of God, because I declare unto you, according to God's word, it'll make a difference in your life. It'll make a difference in your walk. Now, and I want us to look. I don't know what the wise men had to encounter as they traveled those distances from where they were at in the east to Bethlehem to see Jesus. But I'll guarantee you, it wasn't a real easy travel. Load up a camel and head out across dry country like they did. Don't know how long it took them. We know that Herod killed all the children from one year down, so it must have been a good while, because he did it according to the time that the wise men told him they saw the star. And you know that journey was not easy. But still, that light was present, the light kept drawing, and they kept following, because we're going to worship Him. And every day that you and I live has His children, that Holy Spirit light that indwells in us is going to draw us and lead us in the paths of righteousness. Now let's look at a few things a moment when we're talking about it. I think we've determined that God and Christ are the light, Holy Spirit, they're the light of the world. I think we've determined that. Now let's look at a few more things as we go on. Now there's also something. Now you look at this 12th verse again. He says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me, and looks, what's the next two words? Shall not. If I'm following Christ through the leadership of the Holy Spirit, I'm not going to walk contrary to His will. And I'm not going to walk in the things of the world. I'm going to walk in the righteousness of God. Okay? Now, in Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 14, chapter 8, verse number 14. For as many as are what? Led by the what? Spirit of God, they are who? Sons of God. So if you are a child of God, then you're going to be led by what? You're going to be led by the Spirit of God. Your life is going to be influenced by the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. That's the reason. We'll make that statement again. You cannot tell me that there's not a change in a person's life when they're saved. And I'm talking about a change that you can see visually. Like judging a tree by the fruit it bears. You can see that difference. You can see that change. Back over in John. You're wearing your fingers out, changing. You might fuss at me. But what this book says, it means. Okay? If I say something this morning you don't like and I read a verse to you, then your problem is not with me. Your problem is between you and the Lord. Pardon?
Book of John or 1 John?
Book of John. John 6 and 14. Unless I've written it down wrong, and I might have, knowing me. And I have. That's not where I wanted to go. Anyway, we've talked about it and rehearsed it time after time again. No man comes to the Father unless the Spirit does what? Draw him. No man comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws him. Now, with that thought in mind, the Spirit draws. He is the light of the world. Once you go all the way back to Old Testament now, let's go to the book of Psalms for just a moment. And let's look at some things. And I'll try to keep some scriptures together for you so there won't be so much flipping back and forth maybe. So we want to go all the way over to Psalm the 22nd, 7th. Yeah, 27th chapter, book of Psalms. We're going to go to 27th and 37th chapter of the book of Psalms. If I get my pages to turn. Psalms 27. I want you to look at number 1. 27, verse number 1. The Lord is my what? Light and my what?
Salvation.
He is my light. He is my salvation. Keep those two thoughts in mind. We're saved by the marvelous grace of Jesus Christ. By grace you save through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. So we have obtained salvation through him. But he also says here that he is my light. He is the one that directs my path. Now, he says, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my what? Life. The Lord is the strength of my life. And of whom shall I be afraid? Boy, if we could just totally absorb that verse, life would be a lot easier for us, wouldn't it? Now go over to the 37th chapter of Psalm. And let's look at a few verses in the 37th chapter. The steps of a good man are what? Are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. Let that soak in for just a moment. Now it says the steps of a good man. Now, don't you pin any roses on your chest. And I won't pin any on my chest. Because we, in God's measurement, are not good. There's none righteous, no, not one. All the righteousness in you and I is the righteousness of God that he indwells within us by the work of the Holy Spirit. So, here, we might put it this way. The steps of a saved man ordered by the Lord. Now, I want you to notice it says steps. A while ago, we referred to a phrase and it talked about our walk is changed, right? He leads us in a walk. So now you see our steps here. Well, while you're in that 37th chapter, look at verse number 28. Well, let me back up to that 23rd verse. And he delighteth, and he delighteth in his ways. Now he's talking about your ways and my ways. If we walk like he leads us to walk, if we walk like he expects us to walk as a child of his, then he delights in that way that we walk. Verse number 28. For the Lord loveth judgment and does what? Forsaketh not his saints. They are what? Preserve for how long? That's a pretty good place to be in. Every time I see that, the first thing I think about is the way we used to put up vegetables and fruit, you know. Put it in the pot and boil it until it said, oop! And then it'd sit there forever and ever and ever. I know when Miss Ennis passed away, and sometime, I don't know how long it'd been, we... when she used to count world stuff. She had snap beans in half a gallon jars, you know, tomato juice in half a gallon jar. And I forgot how old it was. But anyway, we opened one of those jars just as good as it was the day it put in. Was almost afraid, you know, to eat it. Want a thing in the world wrong with it. Aren't you glad you're preserved by him? And it says, for how long? Forever. That's the reason I only worship him. That's the reason I'm looking forward to the day that I'll see him. That's the reason I'm like those wise men. I'm headed toward him, folks. I'm headed toward him. In verse number 31... the law of his God is in his what? This is what I'm holding up before you this morning, the Word of God. He says, hide it in your heart that you might not sin against me. That's exactly what he's referring to here. His precious word. He says here in the 31st verse, a law of the Lord. Put His law in your heart. And He says, if you do that, none of you what? Your steps will do what? Will slide. If you're walking with Him and you're walking on His Scripture, those steps are not going to slide. There's no slippery place in God's Word. He's a firm foundation. Walk with Him. Let Him lead. Let Him guide. Psalms 119. In verse 105, this is a long one. Psalms 119 and verse 105. Thy word, what's thy word? We got it right here. This is it. He says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a what? And a light unto my path. What were the wise men following? They're following a light. But now there's something I want you to look at in this particular verse. We've got to break this verse down a little bit. And the first thing I thought about at the office, the office is in the front of the building. And then I have a metal fabrication shop area. Then I got a double door over here, a double door over there. And on the other side of that, we had supplies. And the thought was, you know, bad weather. And we used to have to fabricate a lot of ducks, so we'll fabricate the duck, have it on this side, and we have all our supplies, and we drive in bad weather. We drive straight through this building. There ain't been a truck through the building in 40 years, I don't reckon. Well, somebody mentioned it, you can't hardly walk through it, much less drive through it. But anyway, when I leave, come through the doors from the office into the warehouse, and the lights are not on, I can see some light on the corner of that double door, that roll-up door. I can see some light. But now follow me. It's not light enough to walk through that warehouse. And I find myself, and I've walked no telling how many times I've walked that. But to get to the door, I'm in the middle of the building. I've got to come out of the building, out of the office area, make a few steps, and then I have got to turn left. Then I've got to make a few steps, and I've got to turn right. And the way guys are around the office, there ain't no telling what might be in that pathway since the last time I walked that pathway. Absolutely no telling what might be in it. Now, get this. He says, I am a what? Let me read this thing to you again. I want you to pay close attention. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and it is a light unto my path. I can see the light at that door, but I can't see what's right here in front of me. Ain't no telling what might be there. And though I'm still focused on the leadership of the Holy Spirit, He has also got to guide my pathway and light it. There ain't no telling what Satan is going to put in your pathway of life. There's absolutely no telling what he's going to do to try to stop you. I was headed toward the light. We're walking in the light of the Holy Spirit. We're on a journey to get to where He is. But He is also, we can't just focus on the total light that's out yonder. And He knows that. He says, I've got to put a light here so that you can follow and see what's in the path between here and there. And make provisions for you to step over it, to get around it, to get by it, whatever it might be. I'll take you by it and through it. So that's the reason He says two things in this. A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Aren't we glad that He don't just hang us out there and leave us? You see, He's an ever-present God. And He knows our every need. And He's able to meet that need. And He shows us the dangers in life. And we fuss a lot of times because I need to check the air pressure in my tire and I ain't got time. But you do. You don't ever have any idea what might have happened if He happened to stop you here. The hindrance that He brought to keep you from being somewhere at the wrong time. He's a lamp and He's a light to our pathway of life. Well, I've got one more minute. I'm not going to be able to get. But we're going to keep looking at this, Lord willing, next Sunday. In this 1 minute I've got, since we're here, we're 119, I want you to look at verse. I want you to try to remember where we are in this walk now as we continue. Look at verse number 133 of this 119. Order my steps in thy word. Order my steps in thy word. According to your gospel, according to your promises. Order them. Lead me to where I need to go. He said, order my steps in thy word and let not any iniquity have what? Dominion over me. Order them, don't let any iniquity have dominion over me. We're going to get a little bit deeper into that too. Lord willing, and He blesses us to study on. I thank You for Your presence today. I will say this in leaving. Look at the light. Pay attention to the lamp. God bless you.